the FAA is challenged on performance-based navigation priorities, improving weather forecasting, and Nexton unveils the 400 XTI. This is Aero News for Monday, Memorial Day, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The senior Democrat on the House Aviation Subcommittee has written a letter to FAA Administrator Michael Huerta asking why the agency has, quote, stood down, end quote, work on the optimization of airspace and procedures as it relates to performance-based navigation procedures at the nation's busiest airports. In the letter, Congressman Rick Larson points out that according to Huerta's testimony during debate on the FAA reauthorization last year, the then acting administrator said that efficiency of the nation's airspace was being improved through the OAPM initiatives, with work underway at 9 of the 13 largest metroplexes in the country. Huerta said that PBN was a high priority for the FAA. But Larson says, during a House Aviation Subcommittee listening session held last Wednesday, quote, participants indicated that, in fact, the FAA stood OAPM initiatives down last month due to sequestration and temporarily reassigned key personnel, including air traffic controllers and OAPM study teams, end quote. Larson asked the administrator in his letter to answer four questions. First, did the FAA stand down OAPM initiatives in April and reassign key personnel as a result of sequestration? Second, will the Reducing Flight Delays Act of 2013 enable the FAA to continue with OAPM initiatives this fiscal year? Third, if so, when will this happen? And finally, fourth, do you anticipate any changes in the OAPM implementation schedule this year as a result of this stand down? Stay tuned to ANN to find out if the FAA has any response. The House Science Committee Subcommittee on Environment held a hearing Thursday to examine ways to improve weather forecasting at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. Witnesses provided testimony on draft legislation that would prioritize weather-related research at NOAA in accordance with its critical mission to protect lives and property through enhanced weather forecasting. The hearing was timely, given the recent severe tornadoes in the Midwest and superstorms like Hurricane Sandy. Experts within the weather community have raised concern that the U.S. models for weather prediction have fallen behind Europe and other parts of the world in predicting weather events. The Weather Forecasting Improvement Act, a draft legislation discussed at Thursday's hearing, would build upon the down payment made by Congress following Hurricane Sandy and restore the U.S. as a leader in its field through expanded computing capacity and data assimilation techniques. Environment Subcommittee Chairman Chris Stewart, Republican of Utah, said, quote, we need a world-class system of weather prediction in the United States. It's not enough to blame failures on programming or sequestration or lack of other resources. As the events in Moore, Oklahoma have demonstrated, we have to do better, end quote. Nexton Aerospace has unveiled its latest model, the Nexton 400 XTI. It builds on the proven capabilities of its predecessors by offering near transcontinental 2,003 nautical mile range with a bigger, quieter cabin. In addition, new auto throttle saves fuel and reduces pilot workload. Already famous for its unique in-class flat floor design and squared oval cross-section, the cabin now has a revolutionary composite shell interior that adds an extra 3 inches of space at shoulder level and an extra 2.5 inches of headroom. It's also the quietest cabin in its class. A variety of seating configurations is also offered. Even the lavatory has been improved with an additional 4 inches of privacy. With available state-of-the-art cabin management and communication systems, the 400 XTI is an elegant statement of comfort and productivity. Kenneth C. Ritchie, the principal of Directional Aviation Capital and CEO of Nexton, says of the new aircraft, quote, the 400 XTI changes everything in the light jet market. Its combination of performance and economy would make it a strong choice in any evaluation. Add a purchase price that's about 50% less than the competition, and the verdict is clear. The 400 XTI is the hands-down winner, end quote. An MQ-4C Triton high-altitude unmanned aircraft developed for the U.S. Navy successfully completed its first flight last Wednesday from Northrop Grumman's manufacturing facility in Palmdale, California. Triton is specially designed to fly surveillance missions of up to 24 hours at altitudes of more than 10 miles, allowing coverage out to 2,000 nautical miles. Triton carries a variety of ISR sensor payloads that allow military commanders to gather high-resolution imagery, use radar to detect targets, and provide airborne communications and information-sharing capabilities to military units across long distances. At 130.9 feet, Triton has a wingspan longer than the world's most common commercial airliner, the Boeing 737. Combined with an efficient engine and other aerodynamic design features, Triton can fly 11,500 miles without refueling. When Aero News continues, restoring a last of its kind from World War II, building an educational air park, and CAP hopes to honor its World War II vets.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Monday, May 27th. It's Memorial Day. I'm Glenn Moyer. A team of restoration experts is currently hard at work preparing to salvage a unique World War II aircraft, a Dornier 17, from the floor of the English Channel. The RAF Museum in Hendon is behind this ambitious project to raise the aircraft and end its watery exile. The project is made even more significant by the fact that this particular aircraft is the last of its kind, rendering it a valuable addition to the museum's collection and a thrilling historical exhibit for future display. The Dornier 17 was central to the German Luftwaffe war effort in its role as a bomber used against the Allies in the Battle of Britain. Now, the only surviving example of this iconic aircraft is being salvaged from beneath 50 feet of water at Goodwin Sands off the coast of Kent. However, raising the aircraft is only the start of a long road to restoration. A team of specialists has devised a conservation program for the Dornier 17 that involves the use of chemicals engineered to rapidly stop corrosion. According to a First Tunnels news release, a group of experts at Imperial College London came up with a technique that will stabilize the metal components of the aircraft after 70 years underwater. The process of spraying the aircraft with chemicals in a purpose-built polytunnel environment has enabled conservationists to cut the cost of the operation by giving them an economical alternative to the traditional method of immersing the parts in large and expensive containers. Using this cutting-edge restoration technique, the team hopes to have the rare Dornier 17 bomber ready for exhibition within just 2 years. The Greenville, South Carolina downtown airport has announced that Greenville County has invested $10,000 to assist in the creation of an airport park. The park was conceived to fill a need since over 10,000 school children a year used to tour Greenville-Spartanburg before 9/11. They can no longer do that now due to security changes. The downtown airport, meanwhile, receives many inquiries from large groups that would like to come out to the airport for tours. Once the park is completed, GMU will be able to host groups of almost any size. The park will be free to use and open to the public, according to Laura Kaufman, GMU's public relations director. Kaufman says, quote, "Our region has attracted numerous aviation companies, and Boeing is expanding in our state. Many of these high-tech companies are having a difficult time finding skilled workers. We believe that exposure to aviation may inspire kids to become pilots or enter career fields such as engineering, air traffic control, aircraft maintenance, or CNC machinist. All of these are high-paying jobs that will need to be filled locally," end quote. The park's educational amphitheater, irrigation systems, grass, fencing, paved exercise perimeter taxiway, and walking runways have already been completed. By mid-June, aviation-themed playground equipment will be added for children 2 through 5 years old, along with a multi-age use swing set and an airplane-shaped climbing structure. A 15-foot cross-section of a Boeing 737 fuselage is in the process of being transformed into a handicapped-accessible park entrance. Greenville County Administrator Joe Kernel says the park is, quote, "one of a kind," end quote, and, again quoting, "will quickly become a must-visit park for all of our families," end quote. A bill to honor Civil Air Patrol's World War II veterans with a congressional gold medal passed the U.S. Senate last Monday night under unanimous consent after gaining the necessary co-sponsors needed for consideration. The bill, S-309, recognizes the contributions of CAP's pilots and other members who served during the war. Predating the U.S. Air Force, CAP's services included flying combat and humanitarian missions under hazardous conditions. An identical bill, H.R. 755, is under consideration in the U.S. House, where it now has 159 co-sponsors. The measure needs a total of 290 to be acted on in the House Financial Services Committee, where it has been assigned. CAP hopes to gain the additional co-sponsors over the next several months. The House bill needs additional co-sponsors. Veterans and others with an interest in H.R. 755 are encouraged to contact their House representatives to help obtain the needed support. I'm Glenn Moyer, and just a quick reminder that while Memorial Day marks the beginning of the summer vacation season and is often marked with family gatherings and backyard barbecues and outdoor festivals and such, let's not forget its real purpose. Originally called Decoration Day, the holiday was set aside to honor the veterans, both Union and Confederate, who paid the ultimate sacrifice in the Civil War that split our nation. In the 20th century, it became Memorial Day and should not be confused with Veterans Day, while Veterans Day, in November, is meant to honor all, living and dead, who have or now wear the uniform of the United States, Memorial Day is specifically meant to honor those who've died in the service of our country. Through the years, I've had the honor of visiting U.S. cemeteries at Normandy, at Gettysburg, and at Arlington. It is a visit every American should make. So on this holiday, as we rejoice in our freedoms, let's not forget that freedom is not free, and take a moment to honor those who paid the ultimate price. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.